Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé, American spelled with a K on purpose, to make a statement to the world about the situation that our country's in, and it's all subtle and to the point, because we're still armed. We still have our, well, you can call them pea shooters if you want, but they have a significant amount of force with our firearms to protect ourselves, and this is the situation that we live today, that the propaganda machine works the way it does, to let us know that President Bush is doing his thing with his direction, and the coalition forces have nothing to do with the United Nations system, which is an absolute lie. In the meantime, they're promoting the fact that poverty is the big problem. And how is the poverty created to begin with? And when you do your research, you'll find out why that's been going on. In the paper on yesterday, or in yesterday's paper, I neglected to see. Hungry, poor, can be helped, report shows. Needless to say, I was intermingled with the Martin Luther King information from the paper, and certainly they keep playing that one. Playing that card to keep us in line about Martin Luther King and what he was all about, which is, you know, the COINTELPRO operation covering Martin Luther King was legitimate. It was absolutely legitimate. He had communist ties. And so the fact of the matter is, when COINTELPRO went after Martin Luther King, it was legitimate. And they've evidently just transferred their actions. And certainly I don't think COINTELPRO is still in operation, but there's other operations in place, Homeland Security for one, and certainly evidently there's ex-KGB officers that are working out the passport system for our country, supposedly. I have that information here. I don't know how far documented it is, but this article in the paper, coming in the decade, more than 500 million people can escape from poverty. I'm sorry, in the coming decade, more than 500 million people can escape from poverty, and tens of millions can avoid certain death if the United States, Japan, and other rich countries keep their promises to vastly increase development aid, a UN-sponsored report showed Monday. Now, this is just amazing at this point in time, because of the creation of the situation and the problem, the Federal Reserve System in place the way it is, the IMF the way it is, our U.S. Secretary of the Treasury is being the governor of the IMF, and I'm not sure how many governors of the IMF there are. Darren and I were talking about that last night. I seem to think it's the G8 or G7 that has the governorship of the IMF, but He seems to think that every country that's a member of the IMF has a governor. Interesting. I don't know. But all in all, it ends up that the Secretary of the Treasury is a foreign agent and receives no compensation from the United States. This article continues. The report spells out the investments needed to meet the UN goals, which world leaders adopted at the Millennium Summit in 2000 to tackle poverty, hunger, and disease, mainly in African and Asian countries, where 1 billion people live on $1 a day or less. Now, isn't it interesting that the tsunami hit these Asian countries? And isn't it interesting that the Conference on Sustainable Development just had a meeting? The UN Conference on Small Islands concludes in Mauritius, renewed commitment on the part of the international community, said Secretary General Kofi Annan. This is dated January 14th. It's about small islands, big stakes. Isn't that interesting? Another 1.8 billion people live on just $2 a day, it says. Quote, the system is not working right now. Let's be clear, end quote, said Jeffrey Sachs, head of the UN anti-poverty effort and lead author of the report. Quote, there's a tremendous imbalance of focus on the issues of war and peace and less on the dying and suffering of the poor who have no voice. Quote, we have the world's eyes focused on the tsunami of the Indian Ocean, but the world continues to overlook the silent tsunamis of deaths from malaria, which take every month the number of people that died in the Asian tragedy, end quote, said Sachs, who heads the Earth Institute at Columbia University. And certainly I've covered information from Columbia University, and most of these universities have their UN or NGO think tanks. This article from the Oklahoman continues. The 3,000-page report, Investing in Development, showed the poorest countries do not have the resources to meet the goals. These goals include halving the number of people living on $1 a day, achieving universal primary education, reducing child and maternal mortality, halting and reversing the spread of HIV/AIDS and malaria, and halving the number of people without access to clean water and basic sanitation. An independent team of 265 of the world's leading development experts compiled the report, calling the report, quote, a major intellectual achievement, end quote. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said it will be an important contribution to the debate on how countries can meet the, quote, imminently achievable, end quote, goals. So it's kind of remarkable how all this is coming into place. And from Port Louis, dated January 14th, efforts to recognize small islands' vulnerabilities and to support their sustainable development received a solid encouragement today with after the unanimous adoption of both a proactive strategy to further implement this program of action called Mauritius Strategy, and of a political declaration, the Mauritius Declaration. The international meeting to review the implementation of the Program of Action for the Sustainable Development of Small Island Developing States, which concluded its works tonight at Port Louis, Mauritius, was attended by 18 presidents, vice presidents, and prime ministers, some 60 ministers, and nearly 2,000 delegates, civil society representatives and journalists from 114 countries, and by 15 UN multilateral agencies. This five-day conference hosted by the Republic of Mauritius was held in an impressive new conference center built with the assistance of India. During the press briefing held, the Secretary General declared the following, quote, here in Mauritius, I have been impressed with the very high level of attendance at the meeting on small island developing states. This shows a renewed interest and commitment on the part of the entire international community for the issues of concern to these states. from environmental vulnerabilities to small economies, remoteness from world markets, high energy costs, and waste management problems, end quote. So what are they doing? They're implementing Agenda 21 here, as everywhere they do this. Sustainable development, sustainable agriculture, smart growth, it all fits, it all interjects. But the point is to suck the money out of the rich countries, which is basically, quote-unquote, rich country. Are we really a rich country? And that's the point that we have to deal with on a constant basis, is the lies that are given to us to further suck us out of whatever we have left. So the key recommendations in fighting poverty now, going back to the newspaper article, they say some of the key recommendations of a UN-sponsored report released Monday on how to meet UN goals to tackle poverty, hunger, and disease by 2015. Poor nations should plan to meet the UN goals. Donors should target countries for a rapid development. Prepare for quick action in the event of disaster. And once again, with disaster, what are we thinking about? Is it a created disaster? Is environmental modification involved? Is weather modification involved at this point in time? Every time a disaster happens, we always have to ask these questions now. And are we ever going to get to the bottom of it? That's the big problem at this point in time. How do we get to the bottom of the truth? To understand whether whatever happened next was a creation or not. I mean, it can be made to create droughts. And certainly the West Coast was inundated with a drought for years. And we have flooding now, mudslides, a disaster in the making in the western United States. We had the 5 tornadoes in Florida. Are we going to have some kind of a cold spell coming upon us to create more turmoil here? Who knows? Other key recommendations, rich countries should increase donations to about 0.44%. And that's assistance in 2003 was 0.25% of gross national income. Well, when we're this doesn't make any sense at all when we realize how jobs are deteriorating and disappearing and being sent below the border and overseas. I covered some of that last night. From the Economic Policy Institute. And I don't know who they are, but their information appears to be right on the money. Why would they lie about this? So what's the ultimate end goal and plan here? Get us out of our cars, make us dependent on more and more directions that are brought about by government agencies and the State Department and the UN system. And certainly we have government control of education. We have had for years and all our lives. Rich countries should open their markets, it says here. Rich countries should open their markets. So what is a rich country and what market isn't being opened up? This is key recommendations in fighting poverty from the United Nations system that was printed in the Oklahoman on the 18th of January yesterday. Then they need to promote more research to address the needs of the poor. What can I say at this stage? Most people aren't concerned about this. Most people think we need the United Nations. Most people think that the United Nations is a good thing. And there's where the deception and the lies from the past haunt us in the present and the future. Because for anybody to think that this system, the UN system, and what we're a part of in America today is good, they have a few things to learn. So, back to this Meritus Conference highlights, which is the UN Conference on Small Islands, concludes in Meritus. Renewed commitment on the part of international community, said Secretary General Kofi Annan. The major outcome document of the conference, the Meritus Strategy for Further Implementation of the Barbados Program of Action, emphasizes that Small Island Developing States, or SIDS, quote, are located among the most vulnerable regions in the world in relation to the intensity and frequency of natural and environmental disasters and their increasing impact, and face disproportionately high economic, social, and environmental consequence, end quote. As highlighted by the tragic impact of the 26 December Indian Ocean tsunami and the recent hurricane cyclone typhoon season of the Caribbean and Pacific, the strategy proposes to use the opportunity of next week's conference on disaster reduction in Kobe, Japan, to consider the specific concerns of SIDS, including the area of insurance and reinsurance arrangements. Once again, SIDS, isn't that interesting? Small Island Developing States, SIDS, Small Island Developing States. Isn't it interesting all this is coming together with these conferences and we have these disasters, and were they created? Were the hurricanes created in the Caribbean and Pacific? Well, certainly five hurricanes hitting Florida is an extreme rarity. And this tsunami, which is a tidal wave, created out of an earthquake, was the earthquake set off? And then when they talk about all the endangered species, and I went over this last night, you know, it all fits. It all fits into this situation that we live today. Creating the crisis, Hegelian dialectic, Hegelian thought patterns in place. Unfortunate to have these thoughts. Mr. Annan declared that he was happy that his call for a global early warning system has been enthusiastically supported at the conference, reiterating that such a warning system should cover not just tsunamis, but also other threats such as storm surges and cyclones. Don't we have that technology in place right now? Isn't that technology accessible right now? With all that's in place, that's all that's in space, with all the monitors that are in the ocean, and was this allowed to happen, this tsunami? I'm convinced it was. On trade issues, the Meritus strategy recognizes that, quote, most small island developing states, as a result of their smallness, persistent structural disadvantages and vulnerabilities, face specific difficulties in integrating into the global economy, end quote. What is the global economy? The WTO, the UN system. The document also recognizes, quote, the importance of intensifying efforts to facilitate the full and effective participation, end quote, by small island developing states, quote, in the deliberations and decision-making process of the World Trade Organization, end quote, and there it is right there. Everything is so predictable in my eyes and mind that I say it before they even say it. Because I'm reading this for the first time, and I'm not lying to you. I never lie to you when I say these things, and I'm just not a liar. Everything's spontaneous because of all the information that I cover and give interconnects to things that are very uncomfortable for most people to accept. For its part, the Meritus Declaration further recognizes that international trade is, quote, important for building resilience and the sustainable development, end quote, of SIDS, and calls upon the international institutions, including financial institutions, to, quote, pay appropriate attention to the structural disadvantages, end quote, of SIDS. Once again, small island developing states is SIDS. And here we go, listeners, as I read further. On climate change, the strategy indicates, quote, believe that they are already experiencing major adverse effects of climate change, end quote, and that, quote, adaptation to adverse impacts of climate change and sea level rise remains a major priority, end quote, for them. It also promotes, quote, increased energy efficiency and development and use of renewable energy as a matter of priority, as well as advanced and cleaner fossil fuel technologies, end quote. Well, isn't that just amazing? Doesn't that fit into the Kyoto Protocol and what we have to do there and how it's going to be maneuvered into, or we're going to be maneuvered into accepting it whether we like it or not. And that's always been the case with many things in the past. In closing, or in the closing ceremony, the Secretary General of the International Meeting, Mr. Narol Choudhury, declared the following, quote, "I believe the process of implementation should begin with the drawing up of a roadmap for the implementation of the Emeritus Strategy. Such a roadmap would serve as an overreaching guideline. It would help in the coordination of the activities of different stakeholders. It would give us a basis for monitoring and review. It would help in indicating the progress achieved or lack of progress. In addition, I reiterate my call for a dynamic system of monitoring. Monitoring should not conclude with simple stock taking. It should be a process by which implementation loopholes, failures, or slackness can be identified and corrective measures taken," end quote. In other words, totalitarian monitoring of everyone and everything. That's the way I read that. So this just happened, dated January 10th through the 14th, 2005. Small islands, big states. Emeritus Conference highlights. Did anybody know about this? Did anybody have a clue about it being implemented and being having been going on? So here we have this setup in place from the paper. We've got to do our fair share of contributing, although do we already? I'm sure we do to a great degree. We can't support ourselves. We're losing jobs below the border and overseas. And yet we're a rich nation. In other words, what do they try to do but create entire global poverty to be totally dependent on the UN system, of which our State Department implements in America, restrictions on manufacturing, making it more convenient for manufacturers to leave the country. This has been going on for decades. We sell junk steel to China, and they send it back to us in the form of products made with slave labor. Same thing with Mexico. You want to call Mexico a democracy. Well, what is democracy in the long run anyway? Democracy is socialism. Socialism is one step away from absolute total communism. Communism is called communitarianism in America. Way back on February 14th of 2004, well, it's kind of amazing. No, it's really not amazing, but governors just back from a trip to Iraq stressed the need to, quote, stay the course after meeting Friday with President Bush at the White House. Minnesota Governor Tim Powell Pawlenty, a Republican, said the issue came up in conversations with Iraqis, quote, "We had a number of people ask us, will you continue to stand with us as we go into this transition to freedom and democracy?" Valenti told reporters, quote, "It's very important that the United States send a signal that we're going to stay the course and finish the job," end quote. Well, at this stage of the game, we don't know who the enemy is. We don't know who to trust. We don't know what to do. And this was way back in February 14th of 2004. Look what's happened all up until we get to this point now in our country with our soldiers going over there. We have people not wanting to be a part of this any longer. We have people petrified about being in the military. And can we blame them? Can we be upset about this? Certainly we can. Because this is just history repeating itself to another Vietnam. And Vietnam was a setup indeed, and certainly, and those that don't realize that it was a setup are really sick and perverted and been brainwashed. And chances are there are many people out there like that, totally brainwashed to what's going on. In the meantime, what do we have going on? the second International Forum on Partnerships for Sustainable Development, Advancing Implementation on Water and Energy, dated March 21st through the 23rd of 2005. That's coming up. Most don't have a clue that this is going to happen. It's from the Ministry of Territory Planning, Water and Environment. From, yes, the UN system, the Ministry of Territory Planning, Water and Environment. The Second International Forum on Partnerships for Sustainable Development, Advancing Implementation on Water and Energy. What are their plans? It's also organized by the Moroccan Ministry of Territory Planning, Water and Environment, in cooperation with the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs, UNDESA. And there's information on how to attend this meeting coming up. The situation is dire at this point in time for a one-world dictatorship to be fully implemented, and the point is, this is what's going on. Republican or Democrat, this is where we move to. We move into this UN system that is basically in charge of what's going on in America today, as the State Department implements it. Most people don't have a clue about that. Most people don't care. Most people don't think twice about it. But they better start, and you better start getting them active in understanding what's going on and spreading the word to all these other directions and talk show hosts, because at this juncture, there's all sorts of action going on in 2005 of implementation. From UN Habitat, the United Nations Human Settlements Program, the 20th session of the Governing Council, dated April 4th through the 8th, 2005, from Nairobi, Kenya. It's called the 20th session of the Governing Council of the United Nations Human Settlements Program, scheduled to be held, once again, from April 4th to the 8th of 2005. The meeting will take place at UN Habitat headquarters in Nairobi, Kenya. Among the key issues to be discussed are work program of the United Nations Human Settlements Program, UN Habitat, for the Biennium 2006-2007, and budget of the United Nations Habitat and Human Settlements Foundation for the Biennium 2006-2007. Activities of the United Nations Human Settlements Program, UN Habitat, progress report of the Executive Director, two special themes on A, involvement of civil society in improving local governance, and B, post-conflict, natural and man-made disasters, assessment, and reconstruction. Post-conflict, natural and man-made disasters, assessment, and reconstruction. What are they talking about? Man-made disasters? Wars. Not weather modification and environmental modification, but wars. Who creates the wars? Oh, man, there's so much going on. So much to cover. Be back.
Are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars, or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Broadcast. How many have heard of OneWorld.net? Well, Dennis certainly has, and he's just a part of the team now. And here he sees, or here he sent me, NGOs rally behind UN plan to slash world poverty. Once again, One World is the source. Development groups are rallying behind a new UN plan unveiled Wednesday. Today, that concludes that with sufficient support from wealthy donor nations, goals aimed at halving, H-A-L-V-I-N-G, the number of people living in abject poverty around the world by 2015 are still achievable. If wealthy nations double their aid to an average of, once again, 0.54% of their gross domestic product, not only will the number of absolute poor be sharply reduced over the next decade, but also other goals set forth at the Millennium Summit in 2000 will be realized. U.S. economist Jeffrey Sachs, main author of the Millennium Report that outlines the new plan, and non-governmental groups believe that even the goal of reducing maternal and infant mortality can be achieved within the time frame. Basically, it's the same article as in the paper, only with more information. Let's go to this. The Sachs Report, a summary of the 3,000-page project titled, quote, A Practical Plan to Achieve the Millennium Development Goals, end quote, MDGs, Millennium Development Goals, comes as British Prime Minister Tony Blair assumes the presidency of the Group of Seven, the G7 industrialized nations, which represent the world's 22 major donor countries. The plan was developed by more than 200 leading scientists and development specialists from both developed and developing nations. In the run-up to his presidency, top British officials, including Blair himself, have vowed to bring new momentum and focus to the fight against global poverty by pushing for increased aid commitments by wealthy nations and for the cancellation of the external debt owed by 36 of the world's poorest nations. Well, isn't that just amazing? Isn't that why Robin Hood was ever brought about? If people don't realize that we're in some kind of a global mess, a global quagmire, under the guise of democracy, well, something's really wrong with them if they don't understand what's being developed here today. As endorsed by 189 governments, including the U.S. and other G7 nations, at the World Millennium Summit 5 years ago, the MDGs call for halving the number of people living in poverty and hunger, achieving universal primary education, reducing infant mortality rate by 2/3, and maternal mortality by 3/4, and reversing the spread of HIV, malaria, and other infectious diseases that kill millions in poor countries annually by 2015. Another world summit planned for September this year will review progress towards the goals and set the development agenda for the next decade. Keep in mind, there's something called the family dependency ratio that Joan Vion discovered, and it has everything to do with what you produce as compared to what you consume. And the family dependency ratio is very influential, more than likely, today, as the census and we're being monitored with our barcodes and what we purchase. Currently, more than 1 billion people live in absolute poverty, defined as subsisting on the equivalent of a dollar or less a day. Well, this is pretty much the same article to a certain extent, rather lengthy, but you get the point, I would think, at this juncture. It's a set-up situation. It's a mess. Washington Post. UN report urges rich to give more. January 18th is the date. The United States and other rich nations need to increase their overseas development assistance this year by as much as $48 billion in order to achieve their commitment to slash in half global poverty for 1 billion people in the next 10 years, according to a United Nations report. Well, isn't that interesting when we understand through people from the UN system, people like Jacques Cousteau, who has stated that in order for the Earth to survive, basically is what he said, 350,000 people a day have to be eliminated. And yet we're supposed to get these poor countries off their feet, and how do they become poor? Wars. Corrupt governments in place. How do you get to the bottom of how each country became poor? We certainly see what happened in Southeast Asia during the 1960s and 70s. We certainly know how that happened. We certainly see how South America has been demoralized and pushed into certain situations of civil war. This article continues. The 3,000-page UN report was based on the research of 265 scholars, scientists, and poverty specialists. It recommends such practical measures as providing mosquito nets and building roads and ports to help lift people out of abject poverty. Jeffrey Sachs, a Columbia University economist who oversaw the 3-year UN Millennium Project, said he hopes the recommendations will prod governments to spend more on the world's poor and serve as a guide for countries seeking to channel money into anti-poverty programs. But he also noted that the distribution of international aid has been woefully inadequate in recent years, with only 30 cents of every aid dollar reaching the poor. In the meantime, what are we doing? We're spending billions of dollars on this war in Iraq. We as a country, but we're representing the UN system as the coalition forces. The leader of the UN system in Iraq is the United States of America. And what would happen if Kerry was in office? I don't know. What would happen if Gore was in office? I really don't know. Would it have been any better or worse? Quote, we are in a position to end extreme poverty within our generation, end quote, Sachs said Monday in presenting the 13-volume report to UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. Sachs said most rich governments have fallen far short of their commitment at the UN Millennium Summit in 2000 to set aside 0.7% of their gross national product to fight global poverty. Well, how in the world can we do a thing like that when we're over here, quote-unquote, liberating Iraq, and we're planning on going to Iran, we're planning on going to other countries? According to certain sources, we're already there. So, as you look at all this, how it's being driven and manipulated, and I just can't imagine how these NGOs keep such track of what happened in the tsunami and the death rate, coming from CIESIN, that's CIESIN at Columbia University, that's the Center for International Earth Science Information Network. And on January 7th, CIESIN has used its extensive collection of spatial demographic data to respond to requests for help estimating the numbers of people affected by the tsunami. Estimation of coastal populations exposed to December 22nd, 6th tsunami is there. Estimates of coastal population in the Indian Ocean Bay of Bengal region. The direct level of mortality map of Sri Lanka. I'm sorry, it's the district level mortality map of Sri Lanka. Here we see data January 5th. Satellite imagery helping tsunami relief effort. Article quoting Christopher Small, co-project scientist with CIESIN's NASA-funded SEADAC project. Yes, NASA-funded SEADAC. S-E-D-A-C. Absolutely incredible, people. Here we see data January 3rd. Tsunami and foreign aid. Could America do more? In 2003, net official development assistance from the world's developed countries totaled only 0.25% of GNP, gross domestic product. The U.S. ratio was 0.15, the lowest of all donor countries. Oh, shame on us. But we have leadership, a dictatorial leadership in place that sends your sons and daughters and fathers and mothers and boyfriends and girlfriends off to foreign wars. We have presence in 130 countries around the globe. We have base closures in America, base realignment and closure, BRAC, base realignment and closure. Mikhail Gorbachev is on the BRAC committee. So you see how everything's being driven and implemented. In Oklahoma, the Altus Air Force Base is going to be closed. And Vance Air Force Base in Oklahoma is going to be closed. Now, people can say, well, gee, let's just close them down. Well, what does it mean to be closing bases here and to be opening up new bases overseas as the global governance system is being moved and implemented? In the meantime, we're being scolded for not giving our fair share to the world's poor. But we don't have any say-so in any of this. We don't have any say-so in the wars. We won't have any say-so of the return of the draft. We don't have any say-so in anything that goes on today. And yet, jobs are going below the borders and overseas, disappearing from America. So what are they trying to do? But make this country a poor country. That's what's being done. The move is well underway for this to be done. This individual, Sachs, said most rich governments have fallen far short of their commitment at the UN Millennium Summit in 2000. And that is just amazing. Because who created the poor countries? The UN came into place in 1945 officially. Unofficially, it was created on January 1st, 1942. I've covered that in the past as well. That information, where no country could sign a peace treaty against the axis of evils unless all countries signed the peace treaty. That was the United Nations in 1942, January 1st. It says here, Sachs said governments and international development and financial institutions, including the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, have not devised a strategy to achieve the goals. The report calls on the world's most powerful countries to increase investments in poor countries, eliminate trade barriers, and extend debt relief to poor countries that have shown a commitment to good governance. In other words, they've shown a commitment to follow along the UN line. Germany, Japan, and other wealthy countries that seek permanent seats on the UN Security Council should be made to increase their aid commitments as the price of admission, the report said. Interesting, Germany and Japan are former enemies during the Second World War. Rothschild's Bank of London is now Rothschild's Bank of London in Berlin as a result of the Second World War, I presume. It's my opinion. And Japan was brought under democracy by General Douglas MacArthur had that structure in place over there. What do I say? What can I say? What comes out of Japan? Sony. What is Sony? Well, according to many sources, Standard Oil of New York, Sony. So once again, Japan and Germany and other wealthy countries that seek permanent seats on the UN Security Council should be made to increase their aid commitments as the price of admission, the report said. And you don't think we're in a global governance system right now, listeners? Most of you do. That's why you're listening to this. But most people don't want to hear the facts. Most people don't want to hear the truth. Most people are very frightened of the truth. And that's very, very much the situation. The plan also calls on poor countries to dramatically increase spending on anti-poverty initiatives, including research that advances health care, improves crop yields, and preserves the environment. The report cites inexpensive quick fix initiatives, such as eliminating fees for schools, health clinics, and anti-retrieval drugs for AIDS victims, and that could save millions of lives. Interesting, to the point. UN report urges rich to give more. Nations have not met pledges to world's poor, by Cullum Lynch, Washington Post, January 18, 2005. Absolutely incredible. According to this information from the Associated Press, and let's check the newspaper first, on January 18th, at the bottom of this article that was entitled Hungry Poor Can Be Helped, report shows that I covered earlier in the broadcast, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said Monday he plans to remake his top team after the departure of several key members and criticism about UN management of the UN Oil for Food program for Iraq. After a year of headlines about alleged corruption in the UN program, Annan indicated that he will install a new team as he starts his final 2 years at the helm of the United Nations. He already had announced plans for a series of changes at the top, but Monday's comments indicated plans for a more expensive shakeup. So let's look at this article dated January 17th from the AP. Secretary General Kofi Annan said Monday he plans to remake his top team following the departure of several key members and criticism about UN men. Okay, same article. Undersecretary General for Management, Catherine Bertini. She's the one that made that statement about controlling populations with food and not apologizing. Interesting. Let's go back a paragraph. Let's just start over after we just began the first sentence. After a year of headlines about alleged corruption of the UN program, Annan indicated he will install a new team as he starts his final 2 years at the helm of the United Nations. He had already announced plans for a series of changes at the top, but Monday's comments indicate plans for a more extensive shakeup. Isn't that interesting? When all this mess about Kofi Annan was in place, and people were asking for him to step down, and he would not step down, and then what did we have? The earthquake and the tsunami. I said that the first day I came on the air after it happened. Earlier this month, Annan said that Mark Mullock Brown, the administrator of the UN Development Program, would take over as chief of staff on January 19th from his retired right-hand man, Iqbal Raza of Pakistan. Annan said Mullock Brown, a media-savvy and highly respected former World Bank executive, what does that tell us? Would help lead initiatives to improve UN performance and overhaul its management. Undersecretary General for Management Catherine Bertini, who has been criticized by the UN staff union, and Controller Jean Marie Hallwalks are also leaving. Interesting. Catherine Bertini is gone. What position is she going to be taking up next? According to widespread reports, Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, Karine Pendergast, will step down and possibly replace the UN's top Mideast envoy, Tarji Rode Larson, who left to head the International Peace Academy, a New York think tank. This is what we need, more think tanks. What do these think tanks do but think? Annan announced Monday that Peter Hansen, the head of the UN Relief and Works Agency, the Palestinian Relief Agency, will also leave. He named U.S. Agriculture Secretary Anne Veneman to replace Carol Bellamy, who this spring will end 10 years as head of the UN's Children's Fund, which works in 158 countries to protect children's rights. Oh, boy. This is a highly involved UN system that is in place that is never covered by the major press. Why is that, listeners? Why? And it makes this quote, "I have made some changes and more on the way." Well, what are his changes and what are they all about? And who's helping him with his changes? And what is his responsibility? I'm talking about Kofi Annan, the Secretary General of the UN system. Quote, "Several people were going to leave anyway, so I decided to take a look at the whole team. It offered an opportunity to rethink the team and remake the team," end quote. And it said he also planned to take action following the release earlier this month of more than 50 internal audits of the Oil for Food program by the U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker, who is leading a probe into its operation. Once again, Annan said he also planned to take action following the release earlier this month of more than 50 internal audits of the Oil for Food program by U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker, who is leading a probe into its operation. Yeah, boy, you don't think we're in a one-world government right now, do you? The audits noted lapses in U.N. oversight and management, implying these could have led to Saddam Hussein's government skimming hundreds of millions of dollars from the program. I don't know how you get to the bottom of that, do you? But I saw Mr. Volcker's comments on the audit reports, which indicates we have work to do in the management area. We need a clearer management and clearer transparency, which I intend to work on, and I will be making some proposals and taking some action very shortly, end quote. UN Chief Annan plans to remake Top Team, according to the Associated Press. Another article from Reuters dated January 17th. More than 500 million people can escape abject poverty. 250 million people will no longer go to bed hungry, and 30 million children can be saved if rich countries double development aid over the next 10 years to $195 billion, a new UN-sponsored report said Monday. Interesting, and we're supposed to spend something like $50 billion on the transportation system here in America with the NAFTA corridors and this mega highway system that's starting in Austin, Texas, supposedly, according to this article that I had a few weeks ago. It's not right in front of me right now, so I can't really pull it out, but it's interesting how everything's costing millions and billions of dollars, and yet we're sitting here struggling to survive in our country, in our own way of living. But it's not comparable to the other countries. But you see the whole tie-up of the whole system? You see how we're being maneuvered and manipulated into accepting these directions to feel that we're not doing our fair share, like Bill Clinton used to say during his administration, his 8 years of totalitarian tyranny. The same thing goes with the Bush administration. Same thing went with the Reagan administration, turning us into a debtor country. That's what the Reagan administration did. He promised to eliminate the Department of Education. Never happened. Bob Dole ran for president, saying he would demolish the Department of Education. Never happened. What a mess. Second hour is about to begin.